This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? Everybody's so excited. There was a delay, right? Just that happens sometimes. Hey, so we're continuing a series this week called Summer of Wild. Before we get into that, everybody, wave your little Connect card that you have. Thank you, Shelly. Fan me. Appreciate that. Everybody got one? If you have not filled it out, we're just going to, for the next couple of weeks, we started a couple of weeks ago, we're going to do it for another week or two. We just want to make sure we have everybody's updated information. You guys know how it is. This is what happens in church a lot of times. I'm going to make fun of church people because I'm church people, right? Everybody good with that? Church people, they get all upset when they don't know about something, but they never update their information.
Right?
So we just want to make sure that everybody can stay apprised as to what it is that's going on around here. And the way we do that is with your information. Everybody good?
Yes.
Nobody offended? Everybody offended? Cool. Let's go. Hey, so in the Summer Bod series, what we're doing is we're looking at some things. As you know, y'all know how it goes with the summer. Everybody's like, oh, man, I got to get in shape just because I got to go to the swimming pool or I'm going to go to the beach or whatever the case may be. If there's a scenario where I have to put on a bathing suit, I want to make sure that I look at least presentable and nobody's going to call SeaWorld and tell them Shamu got out. Right? And so we think about these things sometimes. And so what I want to do with this series is make sure we're thinking about the spiritual things, our spiritual fitness, our spiritual health. And so we've looked at a couple of different things the last few weeks. And our spiritual discipline for this week, let me bring out our special guest. Y'all come on up. We've got, who's coming first? Alex Walker. Come on, Alex. And I'm going to give you guys a proper introduction here in a moment. And then Mr. Robbie McDonald. I affectionately refer to him as The Rob. The Rob. So, y'all come on, have a seat. So today what we're going to talk about is prayer, spiritual disciplines, prayer. All right, so can I be honest with you guys before we get into this?
Yeah.
So like of all the spiritual disciplines that we talk about, this is probably the one that's the hardest for me. Like for example, let's just say reading the Bible is so, it just makes sense to me. I enjoy it. Prayer is harder for me. Prayer is because I'm like squirrel, flashing light. Oh, I've got to wash my car. You know what I mean? Like, so it is more of a struggle, but it is an incredibly essential discipline in the life of a follower of Jesus. So let's talk about prayer. Before we do, Alex, give us a little bit of information about yourself. You've been at Motion for?
Think about 8 years, something around there.
So you've been filling in on guitar for 8 years.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, John Spencer, asked me to fill in one Sunday because the other guitarist got sick. And that was 2016, the first week of 2016. So
that's a long fill-in. That's awesome. I didn't know you guys, y'all messed me up with the clap. I didn't know what to do. All right, so the first week we talked about worship and we had Jordan up here. And I told you guys that Jordan is one of the smartest people you ever meet. The other smartest person you'll ever meet is Alex. Alex, his mind works on a level that just mine half the time doesn't comprehend. When I'm talking to Alex, a lot of times I'm just smiling and nodding because he's talking about things that I don't understand. Just kidding. Alex, you're brilliant. You're brilliant. And I'm so excited to have you and your insight up here. All right, Mr. Rob, tell him a little bit about yourself. All right, hang on, before we do. Listen, I want to tell y'all a story. So Rob is from East Texas. Like, East Texas. So Rob was a welder by trade, and he was working in New York one time, and he pulled up to a drive-thru to order some food, and he ordered about three different times, and finally they were like, sir, you're just going to have to pull up. We can't understand a word that you are saying. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Rob.
Well, I'll try not to talk too fast for y'all.
Put it up to your mouth. There
okay.
You go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we came to Motion, I guess, about 6 years ago.
You got stuck with me about 21 years ago.
Yeah. You know, I can't say how much I'm thankful for that for. But
don't do that. Don't do that.
You got some Kleenex.
All right, good. So, listen, these punks, they come prepared. They know. I've been vulnerable lately. It's been bad. It's been weird. Carry on.
But anyway, so we really got behind what Motion stands for and reaching out to younger people. And it was, you know, good to see some older people finally coming where I didn't feel alone. But
For a while, Rob thought he was like everybody's grandpa. I mean, yeah, kind of felt like that.
I'm either dad or grandpa around here, so, which is fine with me. I love it. But anyway, it's been an adventure here, and I've learned a lot. You know, because I grew up in a Baptist church, very conservative, just night and day. You know, and I've always been so critical of things, just like people, for instance, not carrying their Bibles, you know. Even though we had phones, that was just one of the things at first. I'm like, nobody carries a Bible. But there are some. But I've learned to use my phone now. So.
There you go.
Anyway, stand up with the times.
You can't beat them, join them.
That's right.
Anyway, I'm thankful to be here, and especially the opportunity to come up here and get to share part of my life and my walk with God. So,
one of the things that I appreciate about Rob the most is, like, this is obviously, if Rob picked a church, this is probably not the church that he would have picked, right? I mean, like, the music and the lights and just everything, right? But Rob, not only is he supportive, but also he sacrifices preference for mission, right? He understands what we're trying to do, that we're trying to reach people that maybe other churches wouldn't reach, or whatever the case may be. And so I'm so thankful for that. All right, enough of this love fest. Y'all stop. Let's talk about prayer. Oh, Alex, those pants.
Oh, my God.
Man, y'all see those? Vibe check.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I got them, Cass said they look like something that Shelly would get for you.
And you like them. There you go.
Yeah. You want to trade?
Hey, right. Let's go for it.
Next experience. All right, so listen, let's talk about prayer. Tell me what prayer is. What is prayer? How would you, just kind of on a very baseline or basic explanation, how would you explain what prayer is?
You know, so I think to, you know, understand the concept of prayer in the context of Christianity, and I'm a nerd, so we're going to get nerdy. Please bear with me. I'm sorry, but it's how I operate.
This is fun because this is like the juxtaposition, right? Like, you don't have any, you can't be any more opposite, and I'm here for it. Yeah. Go ahead.
But so, as Christians, we strive to do, you know, really three things, right, as followers of Christ. We want to be with Christ, be like Christ, and do the things like Christ did them. You know, that's our goal. So to understand prayer in the context of Christianity, we just go and we look at what Jesus had to say about prayer and how he prayed. And he was, like, praying all the time, just constantly. He regularly took time away from the crowds and even the disciples to make sure he had time to pray. He would pray in good times and bad. He would pray, you know, when things were peaceful and when they were most definitely not. You know, you can look in Luke 5, Luke 6, like, there's tons of just these moments where he just goes away and prays for different things. Like, prayer was tethered to his life. When he felt close to the Father, when he felt far from him, all times of day, sometimes it tells us he even prayed throughout the night.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got the Lord's Prayer, which I'm sure we're familiar with, where Jesus kind of sets out a template, you know, that gets us started as to how to pray. And one thing I think that's interesting is, you know, we've got two accounts, one in Matthew 6 and one in Luke 11. And it starts off, you know, one day when Jesus was praying in a certain place, and the disciples say to him, "Lord, teach us to pray."
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think there's a ton of instances, you know, Jesus taught a lot, but there's not a ton of instances where we see the disciples specifically ask him, you know, how to do something specific. You know, they don't, you know, there's not like, you know, Jesus teaches how to cast out demons like you teach cast out demons. You know, maybe they did ask that, but that's not reported.
Even love, they didn't really be like, hey, yeah. Jesus teaches how to love. I mean, he talked about love a lot, yeah. But they didn't ask for specific
instructions. Prayer was so important that we've got two accounts of them asking, hey, Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray. And he kind of breaks it down, and I'll be quick about it, but it's awesome as a template, as a starting point, you know. He starts off, you know, Father. He's addressing, you know, the Father. And, you know, I know not everyone has a fantastic father. I'm very blessed to have one, but, you know, I know not everyone is like that. So I know, you know, I'm sure you could do a whole series on kind of unpacking that. But for the purposes of this, you know, Jesus is talking about a loving Father, you know, who wants the best for his children. So he's addressing, you know, that God of love. And then the account in Matthew says, you know, our Father who art in heaven. And I think sometimes we can, you know, take a, like, we think of heaven and we think, you know, far away, sitting up there, you know, just away from us, you know, far away. But the Greek word is ouranos, which translates to sky or kind of air. And, you know, I like to think, you know, like Jesus, and he's saying our Father, you know, who's in the air, like touching our very skin, who is all around us, who is close to us. You know, so he starts off by addressing that, you know, our Father, our loving Father, who is close to us, who is here with us, you know, as close as the air around us.
That kind of reminds me, like, so when we think of the expression eternal life, we think we have our life here, we die, and then we start to experience eternal life. But the Jewish concept of eternal life is like, it's now and forever, right? So it's not like God off in the cosmos, it's God with us in this life here and now.
And then, it's awesome. And then he goes on to say, you know, hallowed be your name. And I know hallowed's kind of a strange word in our, you know, modern day, but he's, you know, just offering up praise to, you know, to God, like praising him, you know, kind of giving him thanks in a way. And then he moves on to say, your kingdom come, which I think is interesting. And, you know, maybe we'll get a chance to talk more about this, but, you know, saying your kingdom come, to me, that kind of implies that it hasn't come, at least not fully yet, but through the act of prayer, we are able to bring, you know, to help bring, you know, God's kingdom closer and closer to different places of the earth, you know, to bring his kingdom to life for other people, for the people around us, you know. And so he starts off with all that, and then he moves on to asking for things. And I know, you know, a lot, you know, we like to do the American prayer. We pray when things are bad. We pray when we need something, you know, and there's nothing wrong with asking, you know. After, you know, this passage, Jesus basically goes on to, you know, say, hey, ask and you shall receive. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, he sets it up first. You know, he does all this, and then he starts asking, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, forgive us our sins. It's kind of a broad template, you know, lead us not into temptation. But, you know, that's kind of, you know, what he sets out. You know, just kind of some of the things, you know, we address the Father, you know, we praise him, you know, we ask that his kingdom come, and then we start asking for the things we need. And I think that kind of sets up a good context or baseline for what, you know, just a normal prayer can look like in the context of Christianity.
That's really good. It reminds me of the acronym for prayer. Have you guys seen this? It's praise, repent, ask, and yield. And it's like you start by worshiping God and kind of positioning yourself the right perspective. He's God, you're not. He's the Father, he's the creator, you're the created, right? All of that. And then you repent, because every one of us are sinners and we are in need of a Savior to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Then we get to the asking part. And then this is where we do the drive-by prayers and we ask all the things that we need. And then we don't ever take time to listen. We don't yield and allow God. When you empty, then you've got to be refilled. And I think that's what the yielding part of it is. All right, Rob, you're up.
Well, I tell you, everything I've thought of is actual things that's in my life, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, no one ever said being a Christian was going to be easy. Yeah. But, you know, being a Christian is based around prayer.
Amen.
You know, Romans 10:13 says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, I mean, salvation is based upon prayer.
That's true.
1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's right.
So we have to go to the Lord to get forgiveness, you know. So a relationship with God requires communication, just like any relationship. What kind of relationship will you have if you don't have communication? How often should we pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So,
and I think, Alex, you were kind of going through the list of the times where Jesus prayed. A lot of times he would get away and pray. But there are other times there was a circumstance or event, and it's in the moment Jesus would pray, you know, to God in the moment about the situation, and then seemingly go on. Yeah. And so it's kind of that pray always, pray without ceasing.
Yep. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I would say God's will is for us to pray.
Yes.
I mean, I believe that's what he wants with us. And he wants us to communicate with him about everything, you know, small or large.
Yeah.
So that's the way I see it.
So that's what prayer, and one of the things that I also appreciate about Rob specifically, sorry, Alex, and just because we communicate a lot, right? And so I know that his devotional time and his time that he spends with God is very consistent. It's very important and rigorous almost, you know? So I just appreciate that so much. And I think that kind of gives you not that you need credibility, but you got it, right? Yeah. All right, so let's talk about, in terms of fitness and kind of, you know, tying into the summer bod, how is prayer a discipline, or why is prayer important as a discipline, and how does it contribute to our overall spiritual fitness?
You know, so when we think about like spiritual disciplines, you know, that's exactly what it is. You know, it takes practice. You know, it really takes work, and it's relational. That's the big thing. And you know, Rob just kind of touched on that. You know, God wants us to be in communication with Him. You know, we have to communicate like regularly. And I love, you know, I think you just mentioned, you know, pray without ceasing, right? You know, that's what we're called to do. And I think, you know, that's hard because, you know, so often, you know, we set kind of prayer as like a ritual. You know, maybe we pray before bed. Maybe we're even good. We pray before bed and when we get up, right? But it's praying without ceasing. And it makes me think, you know, of a couple stories. I got a book here that's kind of awesome. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God. And it's about this 16th century French monk named Brother Lawrence. It's letters from him. And he wanted to be a cleric, but he didn't have the education. So he joined the monastery and just basically, he was a cook in the monastery, but he dedicated his life to prayer so much that people would literally make pilgrimages across Europe to just watch this guy worship while he worked. You know, and there's one part in the letter there that's just fantastic. He says, here it is. The time of business does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in His great tranquility as if I were on my knees. And like, that is just like,
I want that.
Yep. You know, but to get there, it takes practice. You know, the theologian Ronald Rollheiser had a great way of kind of like putting it in perspective. He likens it, prayer with God, to a person who, you know, maybe their parent is elderly and they're in a care facility. And so each day they dutifully, you know, they drive up there, they spend some time with them, you know, they talk, help them with dishes, whatever, you know. And sometimes, you know, there may be profound moments. Sometimes they may have great conversations where they realize something, but a lot of times it's just routine. It's just being there. Sometimes that person would probably rather be somewhere else. But over time, you know, they begin to just do this daily and daily. And say this person has a sibling that doesn't come by and doesn't, you visit or doesn't call, and they're chatting with their sibling, and they start to realize something, that what the sum total of all this time has been is that they know the parent. They have built a relationship with them. They know the parent's, you know, desires. They know them, and the sibling who doesn't visit doesn't seem to know them at all. And I think that's just a great illustration of kind of the practice of prayer and why it's so important, and how we build, you know, like how it's important to build that relationship, even when it's hard.
That's really good. Isn't that good? That quote from Brother Lawrence is fire. Yeah. All right, Rob, let's talk about it. How are you going to follow that up?
Well, what better way to exercise your faith but through prayer?
That's a dad joke. Well done. Exercise your faith through prayer.
Exercise it. Yes. Praying is faith, is a faith builder.
Yeah.
It's like faith on steroids. Yeah. Really and truly, I mean, that proves to God your faith.
Yes,
you know, your trust in Him. And I believe that showing God that we trust Him is so powerful. And the more you pray, the more you trust Him, and the more you see His works.
I think, because I heard that pretty early on, like just in my life as a Christian, like when I started going to church and I started trying to do the spiritual disciplines, and somebody said that, it was my pastor, said that prayer is the greatest demonstration of faith, right? Because we're calling out to a God that we can't see, right? I mean, in ways we can, but, you know, generally speaking, you can't. And so you're asking Him to do things for you that you can't do for yourself. And again, it's just it is an incredible demonstration and act of faith. And the more you do it, the greater your faith becomes. So I think it's so good.
Yeah, I've just seen it over and over in my life, you know. And you run into a little bit of a struggle, God's right there.
Yeah.
You know, here lately, we've been through a little bit of a struggle.
You think?
Yeah. And, you know.
Hang on, before we go any further, so I think this is, and I even asked, I was like, we can flip-flop the weeks if you guys want to change weeks. So one really interesting thing, Alex has a month and a half year old newborn child, so he's getting a lot of sleep. And Rob, his house burned to the ground last weekend. So it's just kind of fascinating, like these guys don't have the easiest of circumstances, and so our circumstances don't prevent us from praying. And I thought that was important to continue.
I have seen God work in this past week so many ways. I can't even name them all. It's just one after another every day. You're like, oh my God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he uses people, you know. And I'm so thankful for everybody's prayers. And I'm thankful for everybody that's helped us. So, well, I have the opportunity to say thank you, thank you. But, I mean, really, I just believe, you know, if you really want to exercise your faith, do it and do it daily, you know.
That's good. All right, let's get personal. Give me some examples of a time in your life where prayer has personally, you know, impacted your journey or something that God has done through prayer for you personally.
My dad's going to kill me for telling this one. He's actually here today, but I think he left to go pick up my mom for the second experience, so he doesn't get to kill me until, you know,
you die
a couple
after
hours.
The yeah. second one, yeah.
So we'll get both experiences in. But back in 2020, my dad had some health problems that were, they were scary. It was really hairy there for a minute, and it was the hardest time of my life. He was in the hospital for, it felt like close to 2 months. And, you know, the time all ran together, but it was hairy, and he was, you know, he had a procedure and didn't react super well to the anesthesia. And so for a good while after the procedure, you know, he was out of it, and it was terrifying, and I was scared. I was terrified, and prayer, I think, was the only thing that kept me sane, just prayer and the outpouring of love from people around us. But just, I was working 4 days a week and then driving up and spending the weekend with them. And just, that was the summer that Rattle came out. And I remember just listening to Rattle on repeat, you know, and just praying, you know, like just praying that bridge over and over.
What's the bridge?
Just ask the stones that were thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that he can't do. Yeah. You know, just ask the stone that was rolled from the tomb in the garden what happens when God says to move. Sorry. Yeah. And I would just pray and pray for peace and healing.
Yes.
And man, that was the only thing that got me through that. And man, did he come through.
Yeah.
You know, it was so scary, but, you know, Dad made it through. And not only did he make it through, you know, he got, like, he got back healthy, and it was just, it's just, I think that was a miracle, because it was so dicey, and prayer was the only thing that got me personally through that.
It's the tether. I think the word is used. Yeah. It's the tether that keeps us as the winds and the storms of life blow. Like, that's what anchors our souls, right? So good. All right, Rob, give me a personal example, a personal story.
Well, there's no way I could sit here and name all the things God's brought me through. And, you know, and I don't want to get into my testimony too much and all, but so I was saved when I was 11, no doubt in my mind, but I drifted away from God when I got to be a teenager. And about 16 years of my life, I ran from God. Was an alcoholic, terrible person, hurt so many people, especially family, you know. And after about 16 years, I woke up one morning and realized I'd reached bottom, you know. And I realized that I had so much guilt. I just didn't think I was gonna make it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see a way God was going to forgive me, or people were going to forgive me. And so I just, I started praying. And I mean praying. I'm talking about probably a year, man. I mean, it was brutal. And I even thought, well, you know, I just end my life. You know, I can't live like this. And even had the means to do it at one time. But, God spared me. You know, I even went to try to get some professional help. Took one pill, threw the rest in the trash. I said, Lord, I've been praying and I'm sticking with you, you know. So, you know, 30 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, never turned back. God has never disappointed me. He's an amazing God. I guess that's one reason I got such a bond with him, you know. He is my best friend, you know, so.
Yes.
My Heavenly Father, everything that you can think of. So,
we're going to have to do a new series. This is, y'all, the last couple of weeks, y'all been wearing me out, man. Can we have a cry break? Everybody good?
But you know, when I started praying, he started leading me in his word also. And it's almost like every scripture I needed.
Yes.
Always on time.
Yes.
And it's there.
Yeah.
And it's not just for me. It's for everybody, yeah. You know. I prayed God would change my life and give me another chance, you know. And man, has he ever. And he changed my life. He changed my heart.
Yes.
And
you say he changed your life or changed your wife? That's my mom. I can say that. Yeah.
Don't get me in trouble. I do that on my own. But I mean, if that's not the power of prayer, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, and you know, I would like to add one other thing about something that happened to me, because I dipped skull for 30 years and I didn't want to give it up. You know, I didn't see nothing wrong with it, you know. So God started working on me, convicting me. One day I was working at the church building some fence and the preacher come up and I had to spit and I said, oh man. You know, so I said, okay, Lord, I'll just dip it home when nobody's around. That wasn't enough. He just kept convicting me. So I said, all right. You know, I know what your word says. So I took that can of skull to church with me on Sunday morning. And I laid it on the altar. And I confessed it. And I asked everybody to pray for me. And I ain't never picked it up again.
Wow.
So, well, you can't tell me prayer don't work.
Amen. You can't tell me.
Living proof.
Living proof. Living proof.
Gee, I mean, we're done, right? That was. I'm just kidding. That's all right. Let's get a couple more questions. I know you guys have worked really hard. We've gone through a lot, covered a lot. All right, what are some mistakes people make, or kind of misunderstandings people have about prayer? We'll move quickly through these.
I'll try to be quick, but I think a big one is that, you know, we see Jesus say, you know, thy will be done. And we, you know, we know that God is omnipotent. So we kind of think, you know, okay, things are going to be how they are. And I mean, okay, yes, there are times when, yes, we say thy will be done. But we are also invited to contend with God, to ask him for things, because there is power in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, we can go back and I think sometimes we forget that. We think that, you know, it doesn't matter what I pray, things are going to be the way, you know, God is. You know, like, because he knows.
Kind of more of a fatalist.
Change,
yeah.
You know? So, but, like, there are times, like, you know, you go back to the story of the golden calf. Moses is on the mountain. Aaron's down there. They're like, the Israelites are, okay, we want to make us a god. You know, we want a DLC. So he makes them an idol, a golden calf. And God gets mad. He's like, okay, we're done. We're shutting it down. He's like, I'm going to destroy these people. Moses, going to make a great nation out of you. You're good. Everyone else, see ya. And Moses starts to pray. He goes, you know, no, Lord, please, you know, don't forsake your people who you brought out of Egypt. He's like, what would the Egyptians think? You brought them out of Egypt just to kill them? Which I think that's a hilarious thing. Like, so, you know, what would the Egyptians think, you know, when they find this out? You saved them and brought them out of Egypt just to, you know. But God said, you know, he was going to do this. But because of Moses' prayer, you know, I don't, you know, necessarily want to say God changed his mind. But because of Moses' prayer, he changed the outcome. You know, we can look at Hezekiah. You know, God sent Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, hey man, get your affairs in order, you're going to die. And Hezekiah immediately turns and weeps and begins to pray and says, you know, Lord, have I not, you know, done what you asked? And God turns Isaiah right around, sends him back to Hezekiah, tells him, you know, hey, okay, I heard your prayers, I'm adding 15 years to your life, and I'm going to save this city. You know, I've got one more quote here. If you want to be a nerd, go read Dallas Willard, because he is so stinking good. And I've got a book here called The Divine Conspiracy. Fantastic read. But he's got kind of a quote of this along these lines. It says, God's response to our prayers is not a charade. He does not pretend that he is answering our prayer when he is only doing what he was going to do anyway. Our requests do make a difference in what God does or does not do. The idea that everything would happen exactly as it does, regardless of whether or not we pray, is a specter that haunts the minds of many who sincerely profess belief in God, and it makes prayer psychologically impossible, replacing it with dead ritual at best. And of course, God does not respond to this kind of prayer. You wouldn't either. And like, to me, that's just so powerful. Like, there is power in prayer. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to forget that. It's easy for us to turn it into, you know, exactly what it says, dead ritual.
I think as a parent, any parent, I think, can understand this. Do you have that persistent child? Oh, I've got one in mind. And it just asks the same question over and over until the outcome changes. Right? And I think sometimes prayer is like that, right? Like, and again, we're not manipulating God. Like, that is not what we're saying. But I think God persists. There's a reward in persistence, right? Those who diligently seek him, there is a reward in that. Yeah. And I think
Exactly. And even in Luke 11, you know, right after he sets out the template, like literally the next verses, he goes on to say, like, say that, you know, you've got a visitor that comes over, a friend, you don't have bread. You go over to your neighbor's house and ask him for bread. He says he's not going to give it to you because your neighbor is your friend, but because of your, well, let me see the actual words because it's fantastic. I think it's, he says, I tell you he will give it to you because of your shameless audacity. He will get up and give you as much as you need. Yeah. Like, there's power in prayer. There's power in asking.
Just keep asking. That's so good. What do you think, Rob?
Hold on. I'm still getting used to this technology stuff.
Well, he had it all written out on paper, but it burned to the ground. So, you know, here we are.
Along with my brand new Bible. But it's good. I believe one misunderstanding that people struggle with is thinking that they're not worthy to pray to God.
Oh, preach. That's good.
I mean, who is? Yeah. So, you know, you can't look at it like that. It's kind of like no matter what's going on in your life, God is still worthy of our praise. So, you know, you don't ever let that stand between you and praying to God. You know, I think because, you know, people have sin controlling their lives or something going on in their lives that shouldn't be in their life. What better time to pray to God? You know, he's the one that can help you. I mean, you can't do it on your own.
Well, it's kind of like, how could you ever have the sinner's prayer if you had to be worthy to pray? Like,
yeah.
We're not. We never will be, right?
It's a humbling experience, you know. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the fact is that's the best time to start praying, you know, and start actually practicing your faith, you know. Another thing I see is people think their prayers aren't as powerful as a pastor or other people that they know prays consistently. The fact is we're all given the same access to Jesus.
Amen.
You know, but all we got to do is reach out. Let him know where we're at. He already knows. He just wants us to ask, you know.
That's so good. It's that old, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. You know, nobody has a higher position at the foot of the cross.
No, we're all on an equal plane with God, no respect of person. But, you know, back in the day, people did have to go to the priest to get their forgiveness, but we don't no more. When Jesus came, that got eliminated.
Yeah.
And so we have that access no matter where we're at. And he's not going to turn a blind ear, I promise you. You know, I'm not saying don't go to the pastor. Hey, please pray for me.
He's saying go to him. Go to Rob if you have prayer requests.
Definitely, man. I go to people that I think are prayer warriors, and when I need extra prayer, I don't mind asking. I'm not afraid to ask for it, I promise.
It's the old expression, I need the prayer and you need the practice.
but, yeah, help. Ask people to pray for you.
And, yes.
You know,
yes.
Don't be afraid to. Because a lot of times, you know, so people are young in Christ and they don't know, you know, so.
I think prayer is such an important part of community. It's such an important part of accountability, right? Because if I ask somebody to pray for me about something that's going on in my life, not only am I asking them to take it to God, but then I'm giving them access to my life to check in. Hey, how's that going? Right? So there's some accountability that comes along with it. It's good.
Yeah.
All right, let's get one. We got time for one more question. I'll give you guys a chance to do some closing thoughts. What about, let's say I've tried praying. I'm not very good at it. Or I've prayed and things didn't change. I asked and nothing happened. What would you say to that person?
Which question is that?
It's not. I'm freestyling.
Okay, go ahead. My mind has been going 90 and nothing the last week. And so repeat the question.
All right. So let's say you've got somebody that's like, maybe they're new. Like, you know, they started coming to church or just maybe coming back to church and they really want to give it a shot. They started praying. They tried to pray. They asked God to do some stuff and nothing seemed to be changing. It just wasn't clicking. And maybe things aren't happening the way that they thought they would happen. What would you say to that person who's maybe struggling to understand the importance of it or see the value in it?
First off, I believe once a person realizes their dependency on God, you can actually work with that and explain them to them. God knows what you're going through. God knows where you're at in your walk. And just lead them in the small things, you know. Just going to God for everyday things that they need, that we all need. Encourage them to seek those things and seek God through prayer. I mean, that's what I would encourage someone.
That's really good. It just kind of, to me, speaks to the relationship part of it. I'll just tell a quick short story. Shelly tells me like all the big things that happen, but Shelly also calls and tells me all the little things that happen. Like every little thing. And I think that's kind of it, right? We don't just take the big things to God.
Yeah.
We take all the little stuff too, and all the daily things that take place and any concerns that we have or anybody that, you know, that's on our mind or whatever the case may be. All of the things. We take it all of our cares, not just the big ones. Cast all of our cares and concerns on him because he cares for us.
I agree. I think you should be looking for those things each day.
That's good. Alex, what would you say?
I mean, you know, unanswered prayer is, you know, it's a heavy subject. And I mean, I'm sure you could probably do a whole series on that. It's a lot to unpack. But I think it's just important for us to keep in mind that, you know, just because some prayers go unanswered doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to have the things that we're asking for or, you know, that. And sometimes it's hard to see. And a lot of things we may never know the reason that prayers go unanswered, you know. Some of it, you know, sometimes it's easy to see, you know. If, you know, someone's praying, hey, please let this football team win. Well, someone on the other team is praying the same thing. You know, both football teams can't win. But lots of times.
But God loves the Cowboys the most, so. Maybe not. I don't know. It hadn't been good. Cowboys fan, y'all better start praying.
But lots of times, you know, it's not that easy to see.
Right.
But I think it's just important to keep in mind, you know, like you know, Rob kind of said, you know, focus on the ones that do get answered. Focus on the things that you do see, because that's so important. And remember, you know, when prayers go unanswered, that does not mean that God is not listening.
That's so good. Do you guys have any closing thoughts? Anything else you'd like to share? I know y'all spent so much time kind of preparing, so I don't want to pass anything up.
I think a person should be a living testimony of the power of God through prayer. I mean, that's what people are going to see.
Yes.
And it's just like living your life for Christ. But, you know, let them know, you know, hey, just pray to God and He answers. Yeah.
That's so good. Alex?
We spend a lot of time, you know, about talking to God in prayer, you know, and obviously that's important. But I think, just as a last thought, we can't forget about listening. You know, that's such a big part of it. It's relational. It's not just, you know, what we have to say to Him, but listening for what He has to say to us.
Yeah,
I'm reminded of a quote by Mother Teresa. She was doing an interview, and someone asked her, you know, like in the heart or in the most profound times of prayer in your life, what did you say to God? And she replied, I didn't say anything. I listened. And the interviewer's like, okay, well, what did God say? And she just smiled and she goes, He didn't say anything. He listened. And if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard for us. It's probably the hardest part of prayer for me, because like we live in a digital age. We like to be plugged in. If you pull out your phone, go to battery, look at your usage,
Don't.
I mean, that's not to shame anybody, but just to put things in perspective, especially in the day we give, it's hard to get away. It's hard to find silence. But it is important. It's so important for us to find time to listen to.
Yeah.
It's relational. It can't just be one way.
That's right. Isn't this good?
Yeah.
It's been so good. Don't put your microphone down. You're going to close us out in prayer.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, you're going to practice what you preach. Let's go. Pray for us, Rob.
Father God, we can't thank you enough for this day and all you do for us. Lord, we just thank you that we can come to you with every little thing in our lives. And God, we know you hear us. Lord, you tell us in your word that you hear our petitions. And we have confidence knowing that you hear. And if you hear us, then you're also going to answer us. And God, we just thank you for each one here. Lord, I pray for each one to leave here with some change in their life, God, and take things that they hear with them. And God, just thank you so much for Chris, and I just praise you for our church. Bless each one that's here, and just take care of them. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.